And now in Community Connections, we take a bit of a change. It's when the next hour is something that I've wanted to talk about a long while, because a lot of people are getting caught up in scams. And as rare, look, we couldn't cover all the scams that are going on. I actually got one from a big retailer this morning saying that my points were about to disappear if I didn't get onto this website. Well, I mean, fool them, because I've never bought anything from the place. But, I mean, people do fall for these scams, and some people lose almost their life savings. So it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Jackie Butler. Jackie is the manager at the Bendigo Bank down at Wandon Seville. So welcome, Jackie.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for inviting me.
No worries. Look, I guess it's I'm getting a bit tongue-tied. I guess we can't cover every scam that's going, Jackie, but from your point of view and the bank's point of view, what are the major sorts? And I know one of them where they tend to lose a lot of money is on these dating sites. You know, someone, I need money to get to see you. I've got to Singapore and I can't get any further. I need another $30,000. And we've had cases where people lost $250,000, $300,000. Look, they're desperate people. They want to meet someone. But, gee whiz, like, some of them wind up almost penniless.
Absolutely, they do. And, yeah, you're right. We see a varied amount of scams that come through our branch, unfortunately.
Yep.
Haven't seen so many dating scams, but they're definitely out there.
Yeah.
We have a lot of identity theft, I suppose, as well, and compromised cards, things like that as well that come through.
When you say compromised cards, what do you mean by that, Jackie?
So where they've skimmed their cards, or they've got their card number somehow through a dodgy website.
Yep.
And what these hackers can usually do is they will hold on to the card for a little while, and then 6 months later they'll produce the card and start using it.
They don't use it straight away.
They may not use it straight away, unfortunately. And, of course, with that time frame, people don't know that it's been skimmed either. So, yeah, there's quite interesting around the card.
So, from your point of view, what would be the biggest scam? Or not, I don't say the biggest in dollars. I'm talking about the most or the biggest scam from it's used the most, I guess is the word.
I suppose if you look at it Australia-wide,
yep,
the investment scams are the largest scams. That's where you get an unsolicited call stating that you can, you know, make money through this investment scam and all those type of things. We have seen those coming through our branch as well.
Have you?
Yeah, very much so. And look, once again, if it's too good to be true, probably.
It probably is.
Exactly. But these people are professionals. This is what they do. Yeah. So they sound legitimate, and they probably catch you, unfortunately, in a vulnerable moment as well.
And they probably work on the basis that if I try 20 people and I get two,
yeah,
then I've had a hit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. That's exactly what they do. We've also seen identity theft, a fair bit of that coming through as well. Just making sure that you're keeping all your personal details to yourselves.
Well, some people put too much information on Facebook, don't they? You could almost create a profile from Facebook.
Exactly. And you know what? There's one in four Australians who are digitally excluded at the moment.
Oh.
And, of course, this is where we're heading. Everything's becoming digitised.
Yep.
And so we need to make sure, and Bendigo Bank is really good at this as well, making sure that our customers feel supported and safe and as they transition to the more digitised platforms as well.
Jack, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's a bit of a curve ball, but there's a proper answer. Well, there's a reason for asking that. So I'm sitting at home, and I've had this, and not with the Bendigo Bank, let's be honest. Someone says, right, this is, I need, you know, and they're very often jazzed up in names of the banks or you know, Woolies or Coles and all these sorts of places. I'm getting to the stage where I don't know what emails to touch.
Absolutely. And that's the really hard thing about it is because you don't know. And I know that we as a bank, we used to send out SMSs, so it might be, you know, you need to get in touch with your branch, we need to, you know, this has happened to your account, we've got an issue with your you know, account, please contact us. We had a number of texts that we used to do, and because so many people are being hit by these texts and these frauds, we've got one now, which is contact the branch, come in and see the branch.
I was just going to ask you that. If someone says to you, or say, I mean, the old scam, and I still get them occasionally, where someone's got $1 million and they need to park it in Australia, and you know, we'll give you, $300,000 if you're bank. Well, I mean, they're all just stupid, but
yeah,
I guess if a bank or an organisation, if it looks legit, you shouldn't contact them back through that, should you? You should look up a phone number.
Correct.
And ring them back and ask them if
yep.
that's them.
Absolutely. And like I said to you, they always seem to, if they're making a call or emailing, they always seem to grab you at a vulnerable moment. And like we say to many of our customers, they feel stupid that they've actually completed, they've gone to a link or they've called these people back and they've been taken for a ride. And we say, this is their job. They make people feel comfortable. They make people feel trusted.
And they're probably trained.
Absolutely, they must be
trained. They probably had as much training in being a crook as what we've had in our jobs.
Yeah. And, I mean, for instance, and I'm very experienced in, we see this come through the bank on a regular basis, and I got that "Hi, Mum" text. And for that split second, you think, oh, my God, it's my daughter. I need to do something. What I always tell my customers is stop. Stop. And think about where the text come from. And especially with this one, it was telling me that she had wanted to pay for groceries, didn't have her card.
Yep.
Could you transfer into a CBA account? Well, I know she doesn't bank there.
But she could have.
That split second, because it's my daughter and I want to help my daughter, it's playing on that vulnerability. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 20 minutes past 1 and 16 degrees. And I'm talking to Jackie. She's a manager down at the Bendigo Bank in Wandon and Seville, and we're talking all about scams. So I know we couldn't possibly cover all the scams, Jackie. We'd be here till the middle of next week, and as quick as we found them, they'd think of another one. But can you give us an idea of some of the bigger scams that you've heard about?
Yeah, so some of the regular scams that we've seen is the toll roads. So customer will, they might have gone on a toll road, they receive a text saying that they have an outstanding road toll to pay.
Yep.
And then they're prompting them to click a link. So basically, they're getting you at that moment, oh, I thought I paid that oh, I better pay that, I'm overdue. And they click the link. And we've seen a few customers where they've lost thousands of dollars with that.
Have they?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, which is very sad. Yep. The other ones are, as I said earlier, kind of the investment ones where you get an unsolicited call stating, you know, you can invest in this, this will get this return for you. And for people who, you know, are very concerned about their income and how much they're receiving from it, especially of an age demographic, they tend to fall for those type of scams as well. So,
and that's pretty tough because I know you're being gentle about it, but we're talking about the older generation. I'll say that because I'm up in that group. But the problem is they've got no opportunity to get that money back. I mean, if you lose a few dollars, no one wants to lose at any age. But if you're 30, you've got a lot of working life in front of you. But if you're retired and you lose a few thousand, there's no way of getting that back.
No, that's right. And the unfortunate thing is it could be $1,000, it could be $100,000, and that's important to everyone, how much money they have available or their ability to, as you say, recoup it, essentially.
And I guess the other thing is too, we can't blame the banks. I mean, people sit back and say, ah, well, the banks let it happen, but you can't legislate against stupidity. I mean, if people do click on these links and do pay their money over, they can't expect the bank to be sitting back and saying, oh, well, you lost some money, we're going to repay it, because that's not the reality of life either, is it?
Yeah, and this is why I've been doing these sessions with our community groups of all different ages and demographics as well, because I think knowledge, you know, knowing what scams are out there, knowing how they can protect themselves, and especially as we become more digitised, what the banks are offering in relation to the online facilities, how they can protect themselves. So I think knowledge is key.
Well, and the other thing is too, let's be honest, you're always better to, even if you think it's genuine, you better don't use any phone number that's in that text or that email. You better look up their number and ring them. I heard of a case where some really good information was sent out on the normal letterhead of a company and the person lost $300,000. But as the company said, if they'd have made a phone call, we'd have just said, we never sent that to you.
No, exactly. And there are lots of texts and calls around that. They create a sense of urgency that you have to do something. The tax office even, around tax time, you'll see those coming through, Telstra. So even with the banks, you know, your bank account has been accessed, a bank account has been locked, a payment has been made from your account. If this was not you, please call. And then you think you're calling the bank, you're actually calling the hacker. Which is unfortunate.
I mean, we need to take a bit of responsibility for ourselves too, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think everyone can protect themselves as well. And it's not only individuals, it's business as well. We've seen whereby, you know, businesses are sending out invoices. Unknown to them, they've been hacked onto their email system. So when they send an invoice to a supplier for payment, these hackers then go and change the BSB and account number on the invoice. And what we say to people is, if you've been receiving these invoices from these customers, check the previous ones that you've paid them have gone through properly. Yep. And if there's any changes on those invoices, contact the supplier. So same with the calls or same with the text messages, contact whoever is apparently contacting you.
Yeah, and just ascertain that it is. And don't use the phone number on that, whether it be the text or whether it be the email. Look it up yourself.
Absolutely not. And, I mean, the unfortunate thing is they are so good at presenting, you know, especially websites that look like PayPal, that look like Telstra, that, you know, all those type of things. So I think if you're made aware of it as well, and once again, stop, think, and then go from there.
I guess that's another point that you've ably made, is that I had one only a few weeks ago from Telstra that said that we're going to cut your phone off. And oh, there was another one going around too about the email, was it? Oh, they're going to change the email address on all these things, and you had to sign up to new conditions, and it was going to be next week, and then that went past. No, it's going to be next week, and it's going to be next week. So I actually went to the Telstra shop, and they said, no, it's a load of rubbish. We're not going to do any of that. But you're right, they do create that urgency. And I've had one on the Telstra bill. You haven't paid your bill. We're going to cut off at midnight. Well, I knew I'd paid the bill.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, it's like when you're receiving emails, look at the email address that it's coming from. You know, you can easily tell from certain spelling of words as well, and whether it's a .com, .au, .co, you can probably get a lot of information from that email address.
All right, just got to take a quick break. We're back with more. Talking to Jackie, who's the manager at the Wandon Seville Bendigo Bank, and we're talking all about scams, online scams and phone scams and all the sorts of stuff that these people get up to. Jackie, I guess one of the really basic things that people need to be extremely careful of is passwords, and particularly now, I mean, a lot of our banking is being done online, isn't it? So
yes. We
need to be very careful as to what's going on there.
Absolutely. And I think passwords are are really good in protecting ourselves, but at the same time we've got to try and remember them.
And not have something that's too easy for someone to hack into.
Exactly. So what you've got to think about also is a lot of people use the same password. So if you've got an online account with a company and that gets hacked, and they find your details, they'll find your password. And what they'll do usually is go to every other organisation that you might have, you know, Telstra, Spotify, all those type of things, and they'll just use the same password. And if you're using that same password, they will get into everything that you've got access to.
So you need to make sure you're changing them, don't you?
Absolutely. And not to make it too easy, you know, not using your partner's date of birth or your dog's name, maybe all those type of things. What's probably best in relation to passwords is to make them as long as possible, to have numbers and characters. But it could also be a phrase, which is easier. So it might be part of a Shakespearean play. There might be a phrase in there that you could use.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know that phrase, but it'd be very hard to find that out. So
I never thought of that.
Yeah, so using those phrases is much better than having a password. And also with your passwords, not making, adding numbers to it, but not going, you know, ABC 123 and then next month changing it to ABC 124, all those type of things, because they're quite easy for hackers to get into.
And I guess the problem is when you do that, if they crack into one number, and then all they got to do is keep adding a number, don't they? And,
absolutely.
And if that's all you've done in all your separate accounts,
yeah,
then they're going to have them all.
They're going to have access to everything, yeah.
I never thought of that phrase. I think that's a terrific idea.
Yeah, it is. It's much easier if you've got a favourite phrase or even a song, you know, words from a song, you do it that way. It's going to make it harder for people to work it out.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, something different. So there you go.
Well, that's something we've learned.
What I would probably say, as I said before, I think stop is the main thing about it. Don't give money or personal information to anybody. And if you're unsure, hang up or whatever you're doing, contact that organisation.
Yep.
Ask yourself if the message or call could be fake. And that's where you stop and think about it as well. And then also protect. So act quickly if something has happened. Contact your bank. All those type of things, because we can help you through whatever scenario comes up in one way or another.
So, and the problem is with that is you've got to act really quickly, because as soon as you put that money in that account, they take it out the other end, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And of course, like we said, beware of anyone offering easy money. If it's too good to be true, it's probably not right. Like I said before as well, check invoices, bills and payment requests before you pay them by calling the business on the publicly listed number rather than using the number on the invoice. What's happening obviously is we're going fully digital, all banks are, and our society is as a whole really. And so we need to offer online solutions to our customers, because that's how they want to use our products. But we've got to make sure it's safe as well. So most people will have a smartphone. Most people, you know, have an iPad or a laptop or a computer. And most people use social media, online shopping and online banking. And we need to protect them in those ways. And the way the bank does this is by providing or managing risk in a digital world.
And what do you mean by that?
So things like we discussed with the passwords, making them more complicated. Multi-factor authentication is what we do for our online banking. So that includes like a multi-step login process. So it might be a password as well as face recognition or fingerprint as well.
Yeah.
And also, you know, using your smartphone. So if you're logging into somewhere, you'll get, you know, a text with a number on your smartphone, so it's all the devices are connected as well. Yeah. So that's the best way to go in relation to that.
And I guess as we get more and more into the cashless society, and whether we like it or not, it appears as though that's going to come.
Absolutely.
Then we're going to be paying more and more of our bills and everything, not just
absolutely
monthly bills or anything like that. You're going to pay for it. I was at a shop the other day and a girl on the way home from school bought a bottle of water for $2 and she paid for it on the phone. Now, to me, that's a bit over the top. But that's eventually what's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And my husband always laughs because he'll say, have you got any cash on you? I never have cash on me. The bank manager, Never.
Well, that's a bit against banking, isn't it?
No, it's terrible. Or you walk out of the branch and you go, actually, I needed cash and we've just closed for the day. So I'm actually one of those people that does pay for everything on my card. Yep. The difference is I don't have a physical card anymore either. Yep. So I actually have my cards on my phone. Once again, we've got the multi-factor protection.
I was just going to ask you about that because at least with a card, you know you've got the card in your pocket, and it's probably a bit harder for them to skim and that, but I'm a bit wary about putting everything on my phone. So how's that going to work? Because more and more people are going to do it, aren't they?
Well, they absolutely are, and I think it's that multi-factor authentication comes into it, so your fingerprint, your face biometrics, all those type of things. So yeah. I feel quite safe having – I have three or four cards on my phone, and like you say – no one can skim those numbers because I'm not actually physically using a card anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just tap and go.
What happens if you lose your phone?
Yeah, well, that's a problem there. But once again, they shouldn't be able to get into it because it's all on my biometrics. So, yeah. We also, the bank also has a dedicated security team who constantly monitor the systems for suspicious activity. So,
do they?
Yeah, they do. So, you know, you might actually receive a call from or, you know, a text or something from our security team asking you to contact the branch, you know, all those type of things. And then when they do contact the branch or if they can't use their accounts because their accounts have been blocked, then we know that something's happened. So there are those systems in place.
Does a bank very often block a person's account because they think there's something wrong?
We can do, and especially if we can't get in contact with them. They'll put a temporary stop on the account. A lot of the times there might be a transaction that's gone through from maybe a compromised organisation.
Yep.
And so we put a temporary stop on there until the person can tell us, actually, yes, that is a transaction that I made and I've received the goods or whatever. So
got to take a quick break, Jack, and we'll be back with more.
Kids wanna rock. Hey. Give me my DJ. I got some.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Jackie from the Bendigo Bank in Wandon Seville, and we're talking all about the scams. I guess one of the things that we need to say to you is that we are all responsible for ourselves. We can't expect the banks and other organisations just to be there all the time. We need to be very careful what we do, which is unfortunate, because the idea of the internet and that is to make things easier, but unfortunately it's not always that way. So, Jackie, can you tell, what about digital banking? Because people get frightened as to what's going to happen there.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, I think you're right there. We can help ourselves, but the bank has also got systems and processes in place to protect with online banking. So just to give you an idea, so with our online banking, you can have quick balances and statements on your phone, so you can just do a swipe and find a quick balance. The good thing about that, and what we've been really discussing with customers, is that if they have been scammed, you can just quickly check your balance on a daily basis, or two or three times a day if you wanted to.
Yep.
And you know that, oh yeah, that was right. That was the right balance this morning, and it's a similar balance depending on what I've purchased.
Yep.
A lot of hackers will try and will do a bit of a test. So you might see 5 cents, a dollar, something small come out of your account. If you don't have those quick balances on, you wouldn't really notice it.
Yep.
But having that access to those statements and those transactions, it allows you to go, well, hang on, I didn't authorise that, so what else is happening? And then they can come to the bank and we can look further into it. And it might be that those hackers have gone into your account. They're doing a test to see whether they've got enough information to be able to withdraw more.
So I guess if they'd have tried to hack for, say, $2,000, the bank might have twigged, whereas 5 and 10 cents, well, maybe the banks do now because of that, but as a general rule, nobody would realise that,
no,
would they?
No, it's just so small. So it's just, it basically is a test to see whether they've got the right information and whether it will work for them. So, keep a regular eye on your transaction and account balances, and if something looks suspicious, get in touch with your bank, definitely, straight away.
Yeah.
The other thing that we have, obviously, I was talking about having my cards on my account and things on my phone, are card controls. So you can place your own card controls on your cards.
And what's that mean, Jack?
Basically, that means things like if you don't want the card to be used in, say, gambling outlets. So you can say, I don't want any gambling to come through on those cards. Yep, absolutely. And it might be dating services and things like that. So you actually have control online to say what transactions want to go through that account. You can stop international transactions going through your account on your card
if you want to.
Yes. So you can say no international transactions and nothing will get through, because you've put those controls on there. So,
see, that's a terrific idea.
Yeah.
Because most of these scams are overseas, aren't they?
Absolutely. Majority are, definitely. And, I mean, obviously then that limits your ability to utilise websites overseas, but, you know, it might be something that you can do for yourself to protect yourself. So there are those systems in place, which not a lot of people know about.
Can you also put on, if you've got a credit limit of whatever it might be, you can put on that you a limit of so much per day too, can't you?
There is a limit per day. You can reduce it with the bank if you want to.
Right.
Definitely, we've got the ability to do that. But technically, most of the time, it's about $1,000 withdrawal a day, FPOS or ATM.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I guess these days, if you get your car service and that, you need,
you need a bit more.
Not having to go at the mechanics, but that's what it is.
Well, in saying that as well, we give you on our online access, we give you the ability to up and reduce and increase your limit on a daily limit.
Oh, can't you?
So if you wanted to transfer to another OFI or anything like that, you might have a $1,000 limit. I need to transfer $5,000. You can up it to $5,000, do the transaction, then reduce it back down to your normal daily limit. So we give you that ability to do that as well.
Gee, that's terrific.
Yeah. And so I probably have my transfer amount on a daily limit as $500, just because I don't do a huge amount of that. But when I need to, I know I have the ability to do it. And then, once again, I'm in control of where my money's going.
Sounds good.
Yep.
All right, this will be our last break, and when we come back, we'll wind it up and, we'll. It's been a great session.
when your heart gets restless, time to move along. When your heart gets weary, time to sing a song. But when a dream is calling you, there's just one thing that you can do. Find me someone whose heart is free, someone to look for my dream with me. And when I find her, I may find out just what my dreams are all about.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Jackie, and we're talking all about scams. And again, we must just say that we really need to be very, we need to be careful ourselves, because that's, unless we are, that's how we get ripped off. But anyway, Jackie, there are some stats you'd like to tell us about, which I'm sure is going to horrify us.
Yeah, I thought I'd just let you know that Australia-wide in 2022, scam losses were more than $3.1
billion. $3.1 billion?
And, of course, they were only the scams that were reported. So you can imagine that there's a lot of scams out there that haven't been reported.
Well, people either don't realise or they're too embarrassed.
Correct. Yeah, that's fair. And it's understandable as well. And I think previous to that, it was, I think, $1.5 billion or something like that. So it's like doubled, more than doubled.
So it's not going to go backwards either.
No. And scams are growing ever more complex, as we can see, and more sophisticated. And you've just got to understand that, unfortunately, victims come from all walks of life. It's not a certain age or a certain demographic. It is all of our society. And so, like I've said to you earlier, the more knowledge that we can give people, the more power they have.
Sure.
Yeah. Bendigo Bank especially is committed to ensuring the security of our money and also our personal information. So we're very, you know, strict with that. Yep. And the fact that we have so many community branches within this local area means that if something does happen, you can actually go visit a branch and talk to someone face to face and hopefully get it all sorted. So,
So, and with these community banks, and this is just on the banking for just for half a second, are they interconnected? Like, can the other branches tell you what your balance is, or is it within there, is each branch its own little branch and that's where it stays?
Yeah, so with the community bank branches, I'll give you a bit of a history. So obviously back in the late 90s, we had a lot of the banks closing, especially in regional areas and rural areas. And so the community banking was born. So each community branch within, especially within the Yarra Ranges, is run by their own board. So we're separate type of companies, I suppose, you'd say, and we service those communities. But we are all Bendigo Bank, so we do have access to all the same systems. So we can help any customers that walk in our branch, whether they're from Yarra Junction, Warburton, Hillsville, Warrialik, Wandon, Lilydale, all those type of things. So we can help no matter what.
Sounds terrific.
Yep.
Jackie, we've still got a couple, about five more minutes. Do you want to just quickly run through some of the, I guess the bigger scam? I don't say bigger, but what I mean by that is probably the ones that pop up more often.
Yeah, so I think the identity theft, we're having a look at that there. $10 million identity theft in money-wise. So
$10 million?
$10 million. Investment scams, which I mentioned earlier, where they just call you up and, you know, say, we've got this really good deal for you. You're looking at $377 million.
Gee, I mean, we're talking big numbers here.
We are. Remote access scams are about $21 million. False billing, $24 million. So, yeah, they're quite big, aren't they?
False billing is where they send an invoice.
Correct, yeah, and change the details. And, yep. absolutely. So this is scary stuff. It is happening out there.
Well, apart from being scary from the fact people are losing money, I mean, you're talking some pretty big numbers there in dollars.
Yeah, absolutely we are. And this is why I think, like we're saying, I'm doing these sessions with our local communities just to give them that knowledge, that understanding. And the fact is that internet banking is safe and it does provide customers with the experience that they want or the preference on how they want to bank. But you just need to protect yourself online, and I can't say that strongly enough. So choosing those strong, unique passwords or passphrases, enabling multi-factor authentication, and never give out your security details, using your face or your fingerprint biometrics. Another one I didn't actually mention earlier, but was stay clear of public Wi-Fi. It's really easy to hack. Yeah, really easy to access. So because it's public. So there's no, passwords, there's no locks on them very rarely. So
never thought of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And regularly check notifications and alerts and regularly check your account. And that's where I was saying with the online banking, you've got the ability to look at those transactions on a daily basis, hourly basis, whatever you want to do. And lastly, once again, think, stop and protect yourself.
Yeah, I think that's terrific because what you do say is some of these scams are designed to either frighten you because it's the police or the one I told you is the FBI and stuff like that. But in the ATO, if you don't look at this, well, we're going to come looking for you.
Absolutely.
And we're all frightened of the ATO because that's just what we all are. And I guess that probably sends other people, sends you into a bit of a flap that you wouldn't normally be in.
Absolutely. And these are trusted organisations.
Yeah.
So you do trust these organisations, and we want to make sure that you can continue to trust these organisations and that we've got systems in place to help protect you.
Yeah. And I guess no matter what we like to do, we just need to be very careful because we can't expect any bank, doesn't matter who it is, we can't expect any bank to protect stupidity, can we?
No, the banks will definitely put in place systems and processes to protect us as much as possible, but we can also help protect ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing where I see that the biggest problem is Facebook, and I'm not here to bag Facebook because I use Facebook, but some people just put too much on, don't they?
The amount of information on Facebook is amazing. So keeping a lot of that information as private will also help. Yeah,
because you can almost write a profile on some of the stuff that people put up, can't you?
You probably can, yeah.
Where their date of birth, where they're born, where they've lived, the jobs they've had. I've looked at a few and I've thought, man, you could almost create an identity from all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's once again protecting that information, private information that identifies you.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I find amazing, which you mentioned, is a phrase. I'd never thought of that.
That's a great idea.
It's so simple.
Yeah. And if you're like me, you like Shakespeare, so take something out of there. So it's great.
Never thought of it. Now you've told people. But I guess the other problem is they've got to go through all of Shakespeare's plays and writings.
They might have their favourites at that time.
No. What I meant was if a hacker was listening, but they'd have to go through every piece of writing, wouldn't they, just to try and find out what you'd said.
Absolutely. And then you put a character or a number in there as well just to make it stronger. Yep.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Because very often people don't think of the character or the number, do they?
No.
They'll put whatever it might be, and they often put their date of birth, which is pretty silly because it's pretty easy to work out through Facebook a lot. But if you put something in the middle of a sentence or something...
Yeah, absolutely.
Then...
much harder to break. Yep.
Yeah. I never actually thought of that, Jackie. Jackie, I guess the thing that we really want to bring home is the fact that we need to be careful, that the banks will help as much as they can, but we still need to be careful and never click on any of these links in an email, no matter how honest you think that email is.
Absolutely, and delete it. absolutely.
Yeah. Jackie, look, thank you for coming in. I really do appreciate it. I've really wanted to do something on scams for a little while because can you give us that amount of money again for the last, for 223?
222, $3.1
billion. Billion. I mean, what could people do with that? I mean, it's just, it's mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. It's crazy, those numbers. But once again, we've got the systems, we've got the processes, and we just need to protect ourselves.
Yeah, I can't sort of fathom that those sorts of figures are just being stolen. And that's what it is, it's just being stolen.
Absolutely, absolutely it is. Just pure theft. Yep.
Jackie, look, I really do appreciate you coming in, as I said before, but I also think it's terrific that you're getting around some of the groups because the more people know about how they can protect themselves, then the better off we're going to be. And hopefully we can reduce those billions down to, well, I'd like to say zero, but I'm not sure that's ever going to happen.
No.
But I think if we could get that way down, because It's amazing when you're talking billions.
Absolutely. And we want our communities to feel safe. And the fact that the Bendigo Bank and the community branches, especially in the Yarra Valley, are doing these sessions, I think will provide that information.
Got to go. Jackie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.